And the best way to do that is to have multi-talented players, first and foremost, and have, well, I guess stars, first and foremost, multi-talented stars, like Jason Tatum becoming a ridiculous pull-up threat and simultaneously becoming an unbelievable kick-out passer after creating those shots to his teammates, I think has dramatically changed what Boston's ceiling is. And that is kind of the biggest thing that's happening with Boston right now. They now have that thing that everyone is looking for, a star.
Wait, can I throw a quick interjection?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wrote a Giannis piece for The Athletic that came out late last week. And one of the things I posited in it was, I think of Boston as an under-the-radar potential trade target. They can't sign Giannis outright. They have too much money on their books. And the idea behind that for me, I didn't go into this in the piece because I didn't have time. It was already like 2,800 words. And I know that's not huge for you, but anyway. but basically, the part that was subtext there was Jason Tatum's development makes a Tatum-Giannis pairing super fascinating to me, because Giannis' biggest limitation is creating good shots for himself and teammates in the half court, something that is now becoming a strength for Jason Tatum. And so it's this idea that whether they're playing the 3 and the 4, the 4 and the 5, and I think in an ideal system for Boston, they would each do each, that you could basically cover Giannis' biggest weakness with another forward-sized guy, and theoretically they would probably do that while retaining Kemba Walker.
Right.
Like, granted, they would probably have to get some sort of inkling from Giannis that he would re-sign, but holy crap, could that be a team.
Right, and they could realistically probably do it with keeping Gordon Hayward as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways that they might sweeten that deal for the Bucks would be sweeten it for the Celtics in the long term, is use Gordon Hayward's then expiring contract as a way to take on long-term money from the Bucks. So basically, if there were Bucks players, not Chris Middleton, obviously, but if there were Bucks players that just don't make sense if they're going to really retool, because they have all these older guys that make sense with that make the team as good as they are right now, that would then become a lot less relevant the second you trade Giannis. So maybe you use it as a facilitator there, to add extra value for the Bucks, because Jaylen Brown is a wonderful principal, but he's now close to properly paid, so that's not as much surplus value as the best regular season player on the planet.
Right, so, but the problem with the Giannis trade and all of this is, and I almost don't really want to talk about this because I don't think they're going to trade Giannis this summer.
I agree.
They basically have to get the single asset that they get at the top of that deal matters more than anything else in that deal. And I can't imagine them doing better than Jaylen Brown in a deal like that.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're focusing more on player quality than player value, which I think is right. I think that you want to get the best talent. And that's also what Toronto got so horrendously wrong in the Kawhi Leonard trade.
Right.
Was, you know, getting back. Basically, they did that trade and didn't get back any of the players who could potentially be like the best guy on their team moving forward. They didn't get Pascal Siakam. They didn't get
the
OG.
Spurs, you mean, by the way.
Yeah, the Spurs. Yes. Yeah. They didn't get any of those guys from the Raptors. And so, like, yeah, that was a big thing they got wrong. And yeah, you're right, Jaylen Brown, wonderful player. And, you know, like, I don't think Jason Tatum would be available in that trade. So, yeah, you could make an argument that Jaylen. I also floated Jamal Murray as a possibility, because basically it was, for me, it was like the teams that have players that make sense with Giannis but also have other good players that could be centerpieces.
Right.
And so it was like, yeah, it's really interesting to run through that, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But it was the idea that basically Jason Tatum, his development has opened up avenues for Danny Ainge should he want to pursue them. Now, if they want to keep this together, they're going to be damn good. They don't have to do anything.
Well, I think that what they're going to do is they're going to keep it together until a star wants to leave, and then they're going to get in the mix. And if they have the best deal on the table, like, for instance, like, I don't think I would trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal right now. And like that's where it's going to get hard. Like, it has to be like a genuine top flight superstar for this to work.
Yeah, and those players don't hit the market very often. And the other big problem for Boston is that, and this is why the Harden deal, I'm sure, haunts them, is that almost every time in the modern era that player comes on, they don't have much team control. So, like, Anthony Davis, sure, they could have made a really good offer for Anthony Davis at the 2019 trade deadline, and then they would have had Davis for, at the bare minimum, the rest of last year and then this entire season. But if he was going to leave after that, like, do you want to give up Jaylen Brown for a year and a half of Anthony Davis? Probably not.
Yeah, you probably want to keep 5 years of Jaylen Brown for
exactly
one and a half.
And the possibility that he re-signs after that, you know, like it's
right.
And so, but that's why the Harden deal was so special, was because he hadn't reached that level yet, but he ended up reaching it pretty quickly and then signed that, you know, had that extension on top of it.
5 years, $82 million was that
right.
extension.
And so, like, that's the dream. Like, that is the, you know, like, as much as, you know, you could argue that what Masai Ujiri did for Kawhi is the dream because that got them a championship. That was a one-year thing. The Harden trade set up the Rockets for a half decade plus.
Yep.
And that almost never happens. Like, that's a true anomaly in the modern NBA.
Yeah, totally agree. I think that I want to go back to the idea of just multi-talented stars and the idea of having more multi-talented players than other teams being the big takeaway for me in the playoffs. And I think that what you're seeing here is that the biggest thing you have to be able to do is counter what the opposition is going to provide to you. It's, you can't be just a battering ram like Giannis, right? Because teams can find a way to stop that. Teams can find a way to take away one thing. On the other hand, James Harden has counters offensively for days, right? But at the end of the day, his thing is just isolation, period. He's a good pick and roll creator, but a lot of the time he's stringing out those pick and rolls to be able to get a guy in isolation and then pass off that isolation or try and draw a foul or try and step back for a three-pointer. So he actually does multiple things out of that, but if you can take that away by doubling him, and what the Lakers did was they essentially delay doubled him, and whenever it got late in that shot clock down to 10 seconds, 12 seconds, they force the ball out of Harden's hands because, like you said, the way Houston does things is they want to spend 8 seconds, 10 seconds, 12 seconds to be able to get that mismatch. Well, if you delay double the mismatch, it becomes very, very difficult for them to get efficient offense because then James Harden is in a circumstance where he's going up against a double team and has to make like an immediate right read. And then once he makes that right read, there's 4 seconds left on the shot clock. And that's where things get really tricky for Houston. You have to be able to beat teams in more ways than that.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And Houston, though, ran into some real problems because when, like, if you get to the point as a player where you can get out of a double and make a good pass out of it, okay. Like, I mean, that is a level of success offensively. And the problem for the Rockets was they couldn't, two things. They couldn't necessarily convert that into a good shot or even a good shot that went in. Like, those are kind of two different questions. And, like, Russell Westbrook's limitations were a big part of that.